Good evening, Lowell, Massachusetts.
And now, presenting a joint production of For the Pops and the NAI Network.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall.
A verbal history of chaotic wrestling by the two men who were there from the beginning. Hall of Fame ring announcer and commentator, Rich Palladino.
He is the current, reigning, and defending Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion.
Former owner of Chaotic Wrestling for nearly two decades, Jamie Jamakowski.
No blood, no cursing, stay off the barriers.
It's time to
let the chaos begin
on the NAI Pop Network.
You are listening to Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop Network. This is Jamie Jamakowski, and I am not joined by Rich Palladino this week. Rich Palladino is taking a well-deserved vacation, but I am still here with one of the newest podcasts right here on the NAI Pop Network, Let the Chaos Begin. And we got a lot of great feedback from last week's show, and the coolest thing happened. 2 weeks ago, we covered some of the Chaotic Originals, Gino Martino, Short Sleeve Samson, and then all of a sudden, a couple of days after, I got a Facebook message from the one and only Master Sandy that we talked about last week. So it was kind of cool that Rich and I got to reconnect with one of the Chaotic Originals, and I'm really hoping we can get her in to the Let the Chaos Begin for the Pop Studios so we can have a chat with her about her memories of Chaotic Wrestling. The other little bit of feedback we've gotten recently is we've covered a lot of the old-time Chaotic Wrestling stuff. People said, what about newer stuff? What about some of the newer people you met? What about some of the people who came in later in Chaotic? Maybe people that the current fans would know about. And I thought, well, since Rich isn't here, who better than to bring in the first peoples in my Chaotic Wrestling world that don't work for me anymore. I actually work for them. That's right. Tonight's topic, it's like a Meg Ryan movie, When Jamie Met the New Age Insiders. How you doing tonight, fellas?
That sounds like a weird porno that I don't want to be a part of.
This is fun. I just feel like we should be doing this like on the rooftop of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, we can.
Your money. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do that? No. We'll do that for SummerSlam.
That would be great. But no, you know what? We have, like I said, I am joined tonight by Bill Neville.
Hello.
Liam Stryker.
Hello.
And Jason Maltoff from the New Age Insiders.
Oh, I'm last.
And guys, you know, as we said, I have For the Pops and Let the Chaos Begin on your NAI networks and NAI Pop. Yeah. But a lot of people don't know how we all met and how all this kind of came together. So why don't we chat a little bit about that tonight?
Yeah.
So,
and as you guys know from knowing me and then working with me now, you know my memory tends to be terrible.
Yeah.
When did we all first meet? Like, what was your first Chaotic Wrestling show? And then when did I meet you for the first time?
I remember, so I had...
It starts before we ever went to a Chaotic Wrestling show.
It was...
That's right!
It was back before the app had a limit, and you could just swipe right as many times as you wanted.
Yeah.
And then I got matched up with this dude in North Andover, and they were like, you guys have a lot in common, including pro wrestling. And then, so I went to this random address, and it was like a wrestling show instead of what I... We're talking about the history of Tinder?
Yeah, the Tinder.
Right, yeah.
Grindr.
Bro, even better. Yeah. Even gayer.
When the New Age Insiders were starting, one of the things that I kind of wanted to make a presence of was we had to kind of connect locally, right? And so one of the things was I looked up wrestling promotions in the area. I looked up wrestling promotions in the area, and I found Chaotic Wrestling. And I was like, I watched all of the YouTube stuff, and the stuff that I was watching,
both clips,
all of it. It was in standard definition, and we'll get to that in a minute. So it was all Brian Malonis was taking on the big bad boss at the time, Sean Gorman. And it was very engaging. It was very engrossing, and I really liked it. And so then I ended up going to a show on my own and checking it out, and I dragged Jason to another one.
Yay.
And we watched MPG, which we could talk about MPG, but then I reached out to you because I was working at Laugh Boston at the time,
and
we were looking for some interesting, different stuff to put in there. And so we sat and we met with Norm, and nothing really ever happened with that, but kind of ended up every single time we went to shows now, we'd say hi, and we'd say right. hi to you and kind of go there. And then...
I do remember that, Liam, because as soon as you said it, that you and I met first, I forgot about that. I remember you reached out to me via email and said that you were a manager, you were something at Laugh Boston.
Right.
And we were good. We talked about doing a show there. And for me, I always wanted during my entire chaotic run to get some shows running closer to Boston right. again. Way back when, long before you guys, you know, were around, we used to run a Wonderland Dog Track in Revere. And I always loved that location. And nobody was running in or around Boston. So I remember when you approached me, I was psyched. I remember we met it on the border in Woburn.
Yes.
We sat on the little veranda. I would call it lanai, but is that
Hawaiian?
That's Hawaiian. Huh. Hawaiian is lanai is Hawaiian for porch.
Oh, very fun. I've been trying to brush up on my Hawaiian. I told you that the other day when we were talking. I've been eating the pizza and everything.
Yeah, we have an unfinished basement.
I'm hoping on a future night we can chat about you guys and Scotty Slade did a fill-in episode for me, and I really enjoyed the first segment that night, which was 10 minutes of bashing Jamie Jimmickowski. That was a good time.
Yeah. It's so easy.
That was a good time.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the kind of bashing where it's like, hey, get a load of this guy. His wallet won't close because it's too full of 20s. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're going to be okay.
That was fun, though, but thank you. But then you're right, Liam. Then we went in, and we actually went to Laugh Boston.
Right.
And the two things I remember, for anybody who doesn't know, Laugh Boston. Oh, I actually have a great story from this day. Laugh Boston, is it in the Wyndham Hotel?
The Westin.
Westin Hotel, excuse me. It's in the Westin Hotel down in the Seaport District of Boston, a type of hotel I would normally be seen in. So we go there, and I remember the first things that happened. Here we go. I'm building to a story here, fellas.
Holy crap.
Bill, do you have rich girl? I feel very at home. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay. I remember the first thing I remember, Liam, was how the hell are we going to back the truck up to this room?
Right.
Because – our truck drivers are usually volunteers from Ring Crew.
Yeah.
And I think at the time, our truck driver was Cam Zagami.
Uh-oh.
He had already taken out two dumpsters in the last 3 months. And my first thought is, oh, my God, he's gonna back this truck in on a Sunday afternoon, because that's when we're talking about doing a show, with BMWs and Mercedes parked up front.
Yeah.
And Cam's going to take out half of them.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I remember was... was the ring going to fit in that room?
Right. I don't think the original ring would have fit, but the ring that I think they're using now, they have those two separate heights.
Drop-down ring.
Yeah, they have the drop-down ring. I think that ring would fit there now, but I don't think that the ring would have been too tall. Yeah. I think is kind of what we ended up settling on, because the lights were just a little too low.
But now, here's my favorite story of this whole thing, Liam. So I got there early. I'm waiting for you. And I'm hanging out in the lobby. And I'm standing there. Like, they had like counters in the lobby, if I remember correctly. I was kind of leaning on one of the tall counters, like outside of the Starbucks or whatever the coffee shop was in there. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see this fellow whose name I'm not going to use his real name. We'll call him I don't want to use the word. But we'll call him Ted. I look over and I'm like, Ted? And he goes, hi, Jamie. And I know him because his kids used to go to my daughter's school, and I live in the same town and known him for a while. Wouldn't say we're close friends, but we see each other occasionally. And I'm like, oh, hey, Ted, how you doing? What are you doing here? Oh, I had some business in the city. And he's like, kind of talking. I'm like, oh, yeah, I said I'm here looking for a wrestling show, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Well, then all of a sudden,
was he hammered? Did this guy just kill somebody? What happened?
What? No. So now all of a sudden, a woman comes walking up who is not his wife.
Oh.
And it was one of those amazing little, all right, I'm going to go meet my wrestling buddy. And we never saw each other. How does that sound?
Wow.
Good seeing you, Ted. And that, I remember that day now.
That's so funny. That's so funny. I think I remember you telling me that offhand as you were leaving.
Was his accountant, I'm guessing? Yeah, that's the story?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Good, yeah. Good for him for being open-minded.
She's doing a great job of managing some assets.
Absolutely. She really knows how to move those decimals.
So that's how we met.
I remember.
And then you guys start to come to chaotic shows.
Right. So I remember that I wanted to, A, just get into independent wrestling more. than I had been in because the world was just like not just WWE and there's a lot of things happening. I just wanted to go to local shows too. And so looking into it, Chaotic just seemed to have the best reputation in town. It seemed to have a cool lineage. It wasn't that long ago. Like, I think we missed Sasha Banks by like less than a year of her being an active performer for you guys and then going to NXT and making a big deal. So it just seemed to make the most sense. And, like, you know, honestly, I think it's one of those things, like, almost all the great stories in life start with, I didn't expect anything to come of it. We just went to an independent wrestling show one night. And little did we know the path we would start walking down together. But, you know, literally, we just wanted to go out to a night of wrestling as we started this thing together, the New Age Insiders together. And, you know, we went and I was just immediately very impressed because I had been to local independent shows before, just like small time kind of gym wrestling. I'd been to a couple things in New Hampshire when I was younger, and it was what you usually expect, which was either scrawny or fat dudes.
Yeah,
neither one who look like wrestlers.
Right.
None of them are any good. The best thing they can do is a bad drop kick. There's no stories. It's just some dude with a mask slamming into some dude without a mask, and it all looks terrible. And then you go to Chaotic Wrestling, and it was all that with stories. No, it was guys that had a real look. It was guys that were out there doing really impressive stuff and told you a story. And the coolest thing about Chaotic Wrestling was I immediately wanted to go back because I wanted to find out what happened. And I hadn't felt that way with wrestling literally since like the late 90s with TV wrestling, where something happened at the show.
Right.
And there's going to be a continuation of said story at the next event. And I got to figure out how to get here because Chaotic Wrestling isn't on TV.
Right.
And so that was my, you know, introduction to the promotion was we went to the POV in Lowell. PAV in Lowell.
PAV. Yeah. You actually talked about it on the show on For the Pops when you talked to D.L. Hurst.
Yep.
It was really funny. And I think I actually might have texted you when I was listening to the episode. But you were talking about how there was a certain performer's wife
the night Dijak got busted wide open by Chase.
Yeah.
So that was the first show that we had went to.
Wasn't our first
since
show.
No, since our meeting.
Yep, there you go.
So our meeting, and it was really funny because Jay hadn't met you yet at this point, and so we're in the show. Dijak is flipping off the balcony, landing in our lap,
literally.
And he was just, and you come running out, and I just remember going, "Yeah, that's the owner."
Yep. And that night,
remember the problem is when was that Bill Gadd? You finish, Bill.
No, go ahead, Jimmy.
Because that night, and I've told the story before. I see now you're getting me sputtering already. It was Dijak versus Chase, and I remember. Part of the match was they were going to brawl into the crowd. And I've told the story before. I don't remember. Oh, it was a trash can cover, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was just a trash can that split at the seam, and Chase hit him with the split part.
It was a trash can. Right. So there was a sharp edge. He hit him. Now Dijak is busted wide open. Like, you can see his brain. And all I remember was my only thought was, are they going to be smart enough not to brawl through the crowd? So if there was tape of it, or if you watched a video of it, you see me. You're right. I haul ass out there. I remember Dijak is all, like, leaning on the guardrail. I'm right there talking to him, like, "Are you okay? I can see your brains. Are you okay?" And now Chase is there, and Chase is like, "Yeah, he's good. He's good." And I'm like staring at Chase. I'm like, "No," and I'm like, "Don't go in the crowd." And he's like, "Oh no." I'm like, "Don't go in the crowd." I said, "Go home. Take this match home." So they did another 8 minutes. Didn't listen to me at all. But at least they didn't go on the crowd. Oh, God. And then, as the story goes, then Dijak's fiance at the time, because they were not far off from the wedding, or maybe they had just gotten engaged.
Yeah, I think they had just
gotten engaged.
And
that's the famous story of her bursting through our crack security staff. And she got a hold of me in the locker room. And all I can picture, all I can say is, if you've ever seen the movie Wrestling with Shadows, the Bret Hart one, remember when Bret's ex-wife kind of has Triple H cornered and she's just yelling at him? And he's just like head down, like he's a 12-year-old getting yelled at by his mother.
Yep.
That's what I was like with Ashley that night. She just yelled at me for a good 5 minutes.
Ashley Dijak is way scarier than Donovan Dijak.
Yeah.
And Donovan Dijak is 9.5 feet tall.
But I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. So whose first time seeing Chaotic Wrestling? It was MPG was in the main event?
Yeah. MPG was in the main event. I remember the people that I remember being involved specifically were the Chaotic Action News team, including Chester Fernicola.
Yeah, who is still...
But you guys loved them, right?
Chester Fernicola is by far my favorite Chaotic creation of all time.
It's the Chaotic Action News team is one of the reasons I came back for that second show. Because
it's one of my least favorites of all time.
Oh, see, I adored it because first and foremost, I was just tickled by the idea of an evil news team.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, this is so great. And then just the idea.
The weatherman, Pat Matthews.
Well, that's what it was, because Pat Matthews had tons of personality.
Yeah.
Chase Del Monte, you know, Chester Fernicola, obviously tons of personality.
Not the same person at all.
Cam Zagami was also there.
Yeah.
And it was, and the Chaotic Action News team was so much fun that it was a reason to go back. And I remember Taven was on that show. Yep. Malonis, MPG was on that show.
Dijak
was on that show.
Casey Ray was probably around at that time,
Casey
right?
Casey Ray was the Chaotic Women's Champion.
Yeah.
Belmont was around.
Was that the same night or was that the different night that Belmont attacked Casey Ray?
I don't remember. The biggest spot that I remember from that night was Chase powerbombed Mikey Webb on the floor and went, "That's what happens when you don't get in, when you don't stay in the ring, dum dum." And I remember that moment because, first of all, because Chase yelled something funny right after I thought he killed a guy, and just the thud of Mikey Webb hitting the outside of the ring. It was right by commentary, and it was just this like gross thud. The crowd goes silent. Chase goes, "Get back in the ring, dum dum." and I just remember being like, "Holy crap! I got to see this guy again."
So then, when did we transition you guys from? Okay, now you're fans. Now we've met. Liam, you and I have had a conversation.
So it happens after Cold Fury because my 13. Favorite Chaotic Wrestling story has to be Donovan Dijak winning Pandemonium as the champion. Which basically sets up the fact that Chase has to then chase for the right to face him at Cold Fury. Then we see him in that match where Dijak gets his head split open. Then the next show after that is when we approached you.
Okay.
That was a Lawrence show, correct?
It was a Lawrence show.
Because we were there when Dijak won the heavyweight title.
Yes.
We were at that show.
We were at that show, but the show that he got his head split at, he had lost it at Cold Fury, and this was his rematch. And so Chase had already become the champion at that point. I want to say that we started doing things right when the Mill City Hooligans started to become a thing. That our last show as like fans was the night of the fire alarm.
Yes, it was when
Warbeard versus Chase for the title, and there was that fish out of water spot, and Chase spiked himself, and he hurt his neck.
And like one of the most fortuitous things ever might have been that fire alarm because the match had to stop.
Yeah,
and Del Monte couldn't go on anymore with a really jacked up neck, and who knows what could have happened. I do remember that as well. And then I remember approaching you, and literally it was the easiest meeting we've ever had because we had sent you a message ahead of time, being like, "We'd love to meet to talk about what we can offer you." And we sat down and was basically just like, we would like to do this. We think that you're too good to not be more well-known.
Right.
And so it just seemed like a great relationship for both of us. We needed to get into the wrestling business, and you needed somebody that was talking about wrestling outside of New England. Yeah. And I just thought it was no-brainer.
And you guys, and now, I do remember that part of it, and you guys were part of one of my famous Jamie negotiations where I'm pretty sure when we started chatting, my negotiation with you was, "Great, I'd love to have you on board. Not going to pay you, but you get to be part of something fun."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anything ever comes of it, you get to be a part of it. Because, and everybody all, I was always open to having people come on board. And most of the key people over the course of Chaotic Wrestling were just people who came on board and just wanted to be a part of it. And that's when I kind of realized, wow, so many people want to be a part of it. I don't have to pay them very much or pay them at all. And they'll get to do it. So I'm not going to. And hence the reason, I lasted as long as I did in that crazy little industry.
Yeah.
But I remember because now that the timelines are starting to lay out for me, because you guys were coming in right as other people on my management team were starting to leave.
Yeah, Gorman was on his way out, if not gone. Tarzan was on his way out, if not gone.
Yeah, Chase had officially taken over as the booker alongside you, and Malonis.
Okay.
Yeah, and Malonis was
about a year away from
being out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we kind of stepped on, and it's really funny because there was a part of the conversation that we had was about the better button.
Oh my God.
Which, you know, I was waiting for the better button.
Yeah. Oh my God. And so
it's like literally a button on the camera that says high def and no one pushed
but
it.
But hold on, wait, rewind before you bury me for the better button. This goes back to, okay, who was helping us do stuff?
Right.
And at that stage was, you know, I think I threw an ad up on Craigslist to get street teamers and cameramen.
Right.
And, some of the cameramen are still there, and I'm sure we'll get into some of this stuff too. But part of the downside is when you say to people that, you're welcome to come on board. I'm not going to pay you, but you're welcome to be a part of it.
Right.
There is an aspect of you get what you pay for sometimes.
Right.
And so as a result, we were kind of disjointed. And as we were just talking about, we were going through a turnover at that point. Tarzan. I don't know if you guys were there the night Tarzan walked out. I actually wasn't there. But it all came down to there was a chaotic cast. It used to be our little news report, which we'll talk about. And somebody pissed off Tarzan and he left. And I will never forget, I got a text from Pat Matthews. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Pat texted me and the text was, Jamie, Tarzan just walked out and we don't know what to do.
Nice.
Yeah. I call him back. I'm like, what do you mean he walked out? Did you piss him off? Go get him. He's like, no, he left. He just quit.
Did he use the expression he swung on his vine and went home?
Oh.
No, I didn't do that at all because that would be terrible.
Is his wife's name Jane?
Anyway, so all of a sudden I called him. I'm like, all right, never mind. Just can everything, get the ring back.
Yeah, call it a day.
Call it a day, and we'll regroup. And then I talked to Tarzan, and yeah, sure enough, he had left, and then he decided he wanted to, you know, move on to do something else. Brian Malonis, who had been doing a lot behind the scenes, he was on his way out, and then Mike Crockett was the third one.
All right.
He was on his way out. So all of a sudden, I went from having a whole management team to having virtually nobody.
Right.
And that's when Chase stepped in, and that's right around the same time you guys stepped in.
Right.
So what I want to do now is, since I know what's coming next, you already teased the better button.
Yeah. Ooh.
What I'm going to do is, now that we've talked about how we met, now we'll talk about when we all got to work together for a few years. But before we do that, we'll take a quick break so everyone can take a deep breath. I can get myself ready to go toe-to-toe with I'm thinking Liam on this one.
More so than anything else, sure, but I got some stuff.
But this should be good. So let's all take a deep breath. We'll take a break. You are listening to Let the Chaos Begin with the New Age Insiders and Jamie Jamikowski right here on the NAI Pop Network.
You hear about Chaotic Wrestling's past on Let the Chaos Begin, but if you want to see its present and future, then go to Chaotic Wrestling Live. You can see all the Chaotic Wrestling action live and in person across New England. Go to chaoticwrestling.com/tickets to see the current schedule of shows and to purchase tickets. It's all the action of Chaotic Wrestling live at chaoticwrestling.com. My name is Jason Malta.
I am Liam Streger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And live every Wednesday night on NewAgeInsiders.com and the Mixler app, we're taking topics and thousands of fan perspectives and bringing them to your airwaves.
And don't forget, we'll be live and taking your calls before and after every single WWE pay-per-view that we do not attend.
But wait, there's more. You can also subscribe to our Patreon page by visiting patreon.com and searching for New Age Insiders. And with plans starting at just $2 a month, there's an affordable option for everyone.
Monday rewards, Tuesday rewards, exclusive pay-per-view rewards, exclusive shows. Why wouldn't you become a Patreon? And we will see you Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We out.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad Jamie Jamikowski,
and I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Mikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You are listening to Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop Network. I am Jamie Jamikowski. Rich Palladino's on vacation this week, but I've brought in my current bosses here at the NAI Networks. We have Liam Stryker, Jason Maltov, and Bill Neville, the New Age Insiders, and we're talking about how the New Age Insiders, Chaotic Wrestling, and Jamie Jamikowski all became, friends, pals, coworkers, bedmates, all of the above.
Wow.
Yeah.
Only Liam and I are bedmates.
Yeah, bedfellows.
That's true. But we'll talk about the we have to wrap up today. And again, I was going to wrap up with something different, but I really think what we have to do is wrap up today and talk about the WrestleMania trip. That'll be the last segment.
Oh yeah,
nice.
The New Age Insiders and Jamie go to WrestleMania.
It was a lot of fun. I can't wait to recap Capone's with you.
Oh Jesus!
The only thing, in hindsight, I wish we had done was what I think you guys did this past year was rented a van and all driven together.
Oh yeah, my God. Yeah. I don't.
And when I say all of us rent a van and drive together, I meant you guys in a van. I would have been in, you know, the motor coach following behind with my staff.
Yeah, no, but there is no way that you would have gone in anything. The Dodge Caravan that we took would not have sufficed. We would have had to get some sort of
camper,
luxury Winnebago, and no way. You would have, in the trip that we made, we all had a blast. You would have got the first 4 hours down and said, fellas, 1 second, left and taken a plane the rest of the way. I just know it.
No, it would have been like, Bill will probably remember this, but Bill, remember all the stories about John Madden when he used to be an announcer, how wouldn't fly and he had the Madden Cruiser?
Yeah.
That would have been me.
No,
I would have had the Jamie Cruiser.
I just imagine that you have the kind of wealth where, you, much like Iron Man, you have just like a plane in a briefcase, and if you push enough buttons, you can just get in and go like Inspector Gadget and get the hell away from all the poor people.
Yeah.
And so that's I think, how that trip would have gone more than anything else. But
sounds about right.
We had a good time.
Now, you guys were in a unique position, and different people had done it over the years, that they kind of went from being fans to becoming involved. And I said, and I've always said, I think one of the best things I ever did in Chaotic Wrestling was it was a modified version of the Wizard of Oz, which was don't look behind the curtain. The Chaotic Wrestling we always presented, the biggest compliment I ever got over the course would be when we'd bring in other indie workers from other promotions, and virtually every single one of them would pull me aside and say, hey, I just want to tell you, you have the most professionally run company. No place else runs like this. Just everything you guys do is top notch. And I always loved that. And I think that's what we always tried to promote. However, you guys got to see the shit show that was really happening.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of times what nobody ever realized was we were holding Chaotic Wrestling together sometimes with bubble gum and duct tape, it seemed like.
Oh, absolutely. And that's definitely
out there.
That's definitely what I've kind of come to realize now that I don't necessarily participate as much.
And I'm still there every show. I'm there every 3 weeks. I'm still there.
it's something that you see from the outside. Yeah, it seems like it's a lot more put together than it necessarily is. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think the advantage that Chaotic had that I don't think a lot of people took advantage of was the fact that it was like being in a startup. It's like, hey, I need somebody that can do this high management job that has no right to actually do it. And if this was a real money-making company that was making millions of dollars, you wouldn't have this job. But because we're not, and I need somebody to do it, you get that experience. So I do think that was one of the advantages of Chaotic Wrestling.
I think of Chaotic Wrestling, when we first came on, to me it felt like a lot like the apocalypse had been about 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The Earth was starting to try to get back to normal. We wanted to put on a wrestling show. And so we needed to make stuff out of the spare parts and wooden boards that we found along the way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right,
it was very much a Lost Boys situation. We're wearing the clothes we found.
But the two things, and you're hitting on something on a key thing about the two little parts of my life, is remember, at the time, my family, we have a multimillion-dollar corporation, and I have a staff of like 30 people.
Right.
That's my day job. Very rarely was there a crossover. You know, I took care of a lot of people over time. You know, I can probably give you a list. I could probably tell you that the current NXT heavyweight champion worked in the Undercover Warehouse for a little while when he needed a job.
Me? So when did I win that belt?
A lot of guys worked there.
Yeah.
And then really the only two full-time crossover people were Brian Malonis and Michael Crockett over the years,
right,
where they always had a big role in Chaotic and they always had a big role in Undercoverware. But I'd go from this company where I have like a staff and budgets and money and people to do my bidding to Chaotic Wrestling, which, you know, I equated to, I said earlier, I feel like I was a cross between the Wizard of Oz and P.T. Barnum, where it's like, you know, you just have these people where it's like, okay, do you know how to turn on a camera? Great, congratulations. You're working handheld ringside now. Well, yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. Great, neither do I.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest frustrations, I had this conversation with somebody earlier this week where I said one of my biggest frustrations would sometimes be, and I talked, I think it was two or three episodes back with Rich, we talked about some of the ownership group that was on board with me over the years. And a lot of times one of the frustrations I would have is we'd bring people on board, whether it was an owner or somebody would kind of bring in, and I'd say, okay, I need you to do this. And they would say, well, I don't know how. I'd be like, okay, well, figure it out.
Right.
And it wouldn't get done because it'd be like, okay, but no, you know how to do this. Like something as simple as creating and printing tickets. Okay. I, believe it or not, my college or my master's degree was not in printing wrestling tickets.
What?
Really?
Okay? Was it a minor?
It was a minor. It was my minor. But what happened was we needed wrestling tickets. One day I Googled, you know, printing custom tickets, downloaded something for $29, and I taught myself how to do it.
Yep.
And what pissed me off, and when you guys talk about it being a startup, was the thing that would get me the worst in that company would be when stuff wouldn't get done because people were waiting me to handhold them and show them how to do it, when the fact was either I figured it out myself or, to be perfectly honest, I didn't know how to freaking do it.
Yeah, that's why I brought you on. That's why you're here.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, at least when you guys came on board, I will say, you had your thoughts, you had your directives, or your thoughts, your ideas, and I said, great, do it. And for the most part, you did.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, I mean, that I looked at Chaotic Wrestling because we asked you, and this is my favorite part about the relationship the New Age Insiders have with Chaotic Wrestling, is that we are now on 4 years and two owners, and no one's answered my goddamn question. Because that's I went to you and I said, what do you want Chaotic Wrestling to be?
Right.
Do you want to be Ring of Honor? Do you want to be NEW? Do you want to be ECW? What do you want to be? And everybody's just like, oh, you know, the best we can be, which is code for, I don't know.
Jay, I can tell you. Now with a little bit of time and distance, I think the reason you got that answer, especially for me, is because, truthfully, you know what I wanted Chaotic Wrestling to be? What it was 10 years ago.
Right.
And I think that's what we were always trying to do, or I'll speak for myself, what I was always trying to do was grasp back to what it was. The industry changed around me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so busy trying to get it back to, well, no, I want Tommaso and Chase and Malonis and Handsome and all these awesome guys training at a school that I can kind of control, and they're not going to work other places, and I'm going to have this pipeline to the WWE. And that's what we would do, is I was always clawing and scratching to try to get it back to that, rather than necessarily saying, okay, well, you know what? Maybe that business plan doesn't work anymore. You still have the foundation, Jamie. You have a stronger foundation than anybody out there.
Right.
But time to build something new. It's like, you know,
right,
refurbishing a hotel.
Right. And that's kind of where that's kind of where we started to kind of bump heads, because my approach when I came on was trying to drive this into the future and into this digital streaming platforms that you see with all of these other promotions, Progress, Evolve, Beyond. You see the way that they're distributing their content, and that was kind of what I brought on with the Better Button, because, you know, I come in and your cameras are stuck in standard definition mode and they have high def capabilities and you're not utilizing it. You know,
and for the layman out there, for the regular people, what everyone here is saying, what Liam's saying, is that we had decent cameras. We didn't have great cameras.
Yes.
We had decent cameras, but somebody told me these are the cameras we need. Buy these high-def cameras. So I buy these stupid high-def cameras for the company. We're using them every show. We're recording every show. And we never turned on the high def option.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's when you shitbags came up with the phrase.
The better button.
The better button.
Well, it came up because I come in there and I start saying like, oh, you're set at 480, but you're not at 1080. And you're you're like, I don't have no idea what you're talking about. Put it in layman's terms. And then Jay just chimes in with, there's a better button and you didn't hit the better button.
Yeah, but there's a button on the camera that goes, this can get even better. And no one never ever thought to push
never
that.
Never thought to push it.
Right.
You know, and.
But I agree with that train of thought as well, because that answer sort of dawned on me without hearing it from you specifically about maybe a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah.
Because I saw the wheel start turning with you when I do the social media, you're big into like the standard tropes and you're like, what are we going to do for this Throwback Thursday? And I said, Jamie, with all due respect, we focus way too much on the Throwback Thursday. And I remember the phrase that I could see your wheel start turning. And I go, everybody knows Sasha Banks worked here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I could see you go like, okay, we need to create the next one, don't we?
Yeah.
And that sort of that whole process. And I understand what you're saying, because every company in every form of entertainment is always trying to capture the glory days. What we came in and want to just remind you is like you said, you have this incredible foundation.
Right.
You don't have to live in the past. You've got something that can turn into something awesome as it is.
Yeah, and you know, and so we came in there, we started doing stuff. I started doing a lot of the video production stuff. And you know, it was good for a while. It was good for a while, you know, because we upped the production value. You know, we hooked up microphones so that when people talked into microphones, they were actually speaking into microphones.
That was my favorite part.
Oh, my God.
Either cableless microphones or cables that were connected to nothing. That was my favorite part.
but I wish Rich was on right now. Everybody else still does the unconnected microphones.
Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing.
Well, it's because it's funny because there were, you know, it might have seemed like I came in and was like, we're going to start all speaking German now.
Yeah.
But really, it was like all of these little things that are just like, hey, if we just do this one little thing, it's going to up the production value exponentially because we don't need $100,000 cameras right now.
Right.
You know, we don't need these things right now.
But I don't want to gloss over, because one of my favorite things about when you guys took over, again, one of my favorite stories, because remember, I want to remind everybody, I've had all my support team has left. Now it's Chase and I running the company. And Chase came in. Remember, I've known Chase forever. I can tell you where he invited me to dinner and said, look, I want to step up and all that stuff. And it was great. I was thrilled to have somebody that I worked with and I trusted. But one of the first things we all did was, if you remember, we blew up what was the Chaotic Cast.
Yeah.
Because right around the time you guys came on board, there was a stretch of time where this Chaotic Cast, we had a guy, Tom Jarvis, who was incredibly invested in doing it. He was great. However, things started to happen where we couldn't start Chaotic Wrestling shows because they were still recording something for the Chaotic Cast. At the end of shows, they used to like to do these like live reports like from the venue. And the problem is because the microphones and the noise, we had to stop Ring Crew.
Right.
Well, and Tom Jarvis, he has a great band. It's called Casual Gravity. They're out of New Hampshire. Google it. They're awesome. I like Tom Jarvis. He was so invested. But now all of a sudden, I'd be sitting there going, jumping Jesus. It's 12:05. We've still got to bring a ring back. And I'm sitting there waiting because you guys need 47 takes to get this right.
Yeah.
And I remember, but then what's the saying? Karma's a bitch or, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Because now, if you remember, now I kind of revamped the Chaotic Cast and we kind of worked together. And who do we pick as our first Chaotic Cast, like, reporters? There were three of them.
It was Pat Matthews.
Buddy Christ.
Buddy Christ.
Yeah.
Yep. Rob Greer.
And
who's our third one?
Oh, Ashley.
Ashley Mason, that's right.
And I will never forget. And Pat was good.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem was, the challenge we now have is, if you remember, Chase is now writing a lot of this stuff.
Right.
And Chase, which is strange because Chase came from the old CTC, the Chaotic Training Center days. And we were big on bullet points.
Yeah.
Give people Well, Chase was writing Spielbergian scripts
right.
for the Chaotic Cat.
Yeah. Rob is having trouble. Rob would sit down, and God bless him because he's a great guy, but Rob would sit down and he would go like, "Hi, my name is Grob Rear." Oh, wait, no, it's not. And then Chase was like, "Wait, so you're having trouble with the your own name part, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You're having trouble with the easiest part of the SATs, and I'm going to slide you the advanced genius copy."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that would be the problem because you're right, because Chase would be like, "All right, Rob, it's very simple. All I need you to do is say, at the most recent Chaotic Wrestling event, Mikey Webb entered with a furious fever and would come in and immediately took on Mark Sherman, who's trying to rebound from a big week last time. Will Team Friendship prevail, or is Mikey Webb going to web sling his way? Peter Parker, punny!" And it's just like, and then Rob Greer's like, "I am Grob Rear."
Yeah, right. It was.
We were all Grob Rear.
And then you have Pat.
Yeah.
Who, you know, you guys said you loved Pat when he was Chaotic Action News.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason he was so good was Pat's naturally a little timid and it can be awkward. So now you have Chase throwing all this stuff, getting riled up.
Yeah, it's fine.
You guys are starting to huff and puff. Now that's getting Pat more nervous.
Yeah.
Pat's character was like Jerry Lawler without the self-confidence.
Right. No, but it was tough being in the room because at the same time, both of them are looking at Chase, who's like, "You have to say the words exactly as I wrote them."
Right.
Yeah. And so it's just like, "Hey man, you understand what we're trying to do. Just say the thing."
Yeah, is it okay if I say that Mark Sherman is having an inner struggle instead of a kaleidoscope of cornucopic emotion? You know what I mean? Is that okay, Chase? Holy crap here, man.
The third part of our trio of terror at that point is we have Ashley Mason.
Oh, she's bad.
She was doing... Like, I had read that she was doing this for other promotions. I'm thinking, all right, she was always around. She was there for Ring Crew. Say what you want about Ashley now. That she was around. She was being helpful. So, yeah, give her a role. And, hey, she's a pretty face. And it's no mystery in wrestling. You know, you look – sometimes you just card a pretty face out there for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I had no idea there was no camera presence.
Yeah, that was the toughest part about her. And the biggest thing is more than the other two, she was probably more intimidated by everybody else just because she just didn't have the presence.
She needed to have, this is going to be you, you're a Chaotic Wrestling fan, you either know the old ring girl or you don't. She needed to have the confidence and the poise of Jess. She needed to have Jessica's confidence and poise with Ashley's desire to be in front of the camera and interview these people and be this person.
Correct.
Because I think that's the disconnect.
That is the disconnect.
Like, Jessica has the personality to do it and only the desire.
Right.
Whereas Ashley has the desire and absolutely no ability.
You're absolutely right. And so...
But I remember my favorite story of it from those Chaotic Cast days. So now remember, we built the set. I got the new backdrops. We lit it. We had the whole thing in the warehouse. We had that corner of the warehouse all set up.
Yeah. Right.
And I got a text or a call from someone saying, "Hey, I think you all were going to go there and you were meeting on a Tuesday or a Thursday night."
Sounds about right.
And I said, "Let me drive over." And I remember I was sick as a dog that night. I had like one of those wonderful. And all of a sudden, I have now got 3 hours of Pat, Rob Greer, and Ashley Mason. And never before had I hoped so much that whatever virus I had would just take my life.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, oh my God, this is, at least I had that moment of clarity of, this isn't working. We got to change this up again because this is awful.
Right.
I'm Grob Rear.
I'm Grob Rear.
And I like them all. You know,
no, they're all good people.
Buddy did a ton of other great stuff for us. It just that version of the Chaotic Cast just never clicked.
Right. No, and one of my favorite just moments of our time of a relationship with Chaotic Wrestling came from the Chaotic Cast because I'm sitting there because at one point you had asked me to kind of change roles with Rob, where I was sort of the co-anchor and Rob was the guy in the field or whatever. And I remember, so Rob's there, he's just waiting for his cue or whatever. What did Chase Del? So Chase Del Monte.
Oh, yeah.
So Chase Del Monte's directing, right? It's the middle of the shoot. He goes, Rob. He goes, Rob, will you beer me? And Rob just gets up and stands as close to Chase as possible, like right next to him, touching shoulders. And Chase goes, what the hell's going on? He goes, I thought you said be near me. and Chase just stops and looks him dead in the eye and goes, Rob, I could know you for 100 years and I will never, ever ask you to be near me. And so Rob's like, oh, sorry, man. Oh, sorry. Okay. And goes and gets some beer. And to this day, it was the funniest thing I'd ever witnessed at Chaotic Wrestling, where Chase Rob thought that Chase just randomly went, hey, Rob, be near me. And just, I need your support right now, man. I need to feel your essence. You know what I mean? Just stand next to me. God. Get as close to me as you can, shoulder to shoulder. Hey, Rob, just real quick, will you be near me? And Rob was like, and the man did no hesitation. No, what did you just say? Just, yep, you got it, boss. And just like slid right up next to him.
Yeah, sure
just,
thing, pal.
Just shoulder to shoulder, as close as you could get without a hug. And just like, it was oh my God. Rob, I will never, ever, ever ask you to be near me. If you ever think you hear me say that, you are wrong. And it was just.
God. Oh, God. The worst was, I can see all of that. I can hear Rob saying it. Yep. I can hear Chase's response.
Yep. It was just, and it was so natural.
It was,
hey,
so,
Rob,
it was so genuine.
Hey, Rob, real quick, will you be near me? Yeah. You got it, man.
I'll never forget
that. Does this help? Does this help?
Yeah, sure, boss.
Is this helping? Does my energy help this show? Oh my God, that's my favorite. Yeah. You know, all of it's worth it, no matter what happens. It was all worth it just for that. I think about that like once a week.
Just for that. I think that there were a lot of advancements. I think that one of the biggest missed opportunities... The biggest missed opportunity is that Chaotic Wrestling just still to this point has never utilized is if you were, and I think that this kind of goes back to the idea of like you wanted to go into the past and we wanted to go into the future because you never utilized us as an on-camera presence with these shows.
Be near me.
Just because it's like we can tell people to come watch these shows and we can say Chaotic Wrestling is awesome and go see these Chaotic Wrestling shows, but our fans are going to go that extra mile.
Jamie was just never going to do that because I remember having a heart to heart with him once and be like, I want to like be in the wrestling business in one way or the other. And he goes like, what do you think you could be good at? Like, I think I'd be a really good manager. Would you ever give me a shot? And he goes, no. And walks away.
No,
it wasn't. Yeah. Like, no, it was never going to, it was just never going to happen.
Right.
I think it's so funny. I wish if this were video, if we were like on Skype video right now, that Liam, when you and Jay just brought this up, like I literally just like sat up in my chair, I've repositioned myself and I've like pompous Jamie posture going right now, because immediately I'm like, no, absolutely not, because I still believe, I get what you're saying,
right,
but I would have put that in the category of WCW when they brought in Jay Leno or Karl Malone or David Arquette or somebody like that.
You think
no offense
Jay Leno?
To you guys. No offense to you guys, but you never step foot in a wrestling school for one day.
That is incorrect.
Well, I haven't.
For one day.
I actually trained when I lived in Los Angeles.
I didn't.
You should have told me that. Maybe I could have gotten you booked.
I didn't care that much.
I didn't.
Well, there you go.
See, I never wanted to work. I wanted to manage.
And again, my whole thing on something like that would be, no, why would I take – because, again, I have to play politics and I have to manage this whole, like I said, this P.T. Barnum circus of people. So you guys know better than anybody. And again, Jay, you're still around more than the rest of us combined. I think now you are accepted as part of Chaotic Wrestling.
Aww, yeah.
But you guys were always fighting the stigma of you were outsiders, you were podcasters, you were fans, you were marks that Jamie let in to do something.
Right.
If I had put you ringside to do anything, my roster would have had less respect for me than they already did.
Wow.
Yeah. But not because of you guys personally.
No, I
understand.
I got heat. You brought up Jessica. I got heat of why did Jessica have a spot when she was a model that I knew from somewhere else. And I gave her a spot as a ring girl. And then she started doing other stuff. She did the angle where somebody grabbed her by the hair. And I want to say Flip saved her. This is kind of all murky in my brain. Mm-hmm. But the difference there was Jessica was smart enough that she got that there was some weird click and she knew where how to work the boys a little bit right. and fit in. But I got heat for that. I got heat for Ashley Mason, who even though she had already trained for a while, she stopped training, but I was still giving her a role. If I had done that with you guys, it would have been my roster would have buried me. I would have had the Furies, the Malonuses, and the veterans pulling me aside saying, what the hell are you doing?
Oh,
you can't let this guy do it. So no.
You're right, except for the fact that you have to ask yourself, you know, and this is the thing that Jay brought up, is what do you want to be? Because yeah, you're right. You can let that politicking and all of that stuff take into effect and take into account and stop you from doing that. But is that worth the growth of the company? You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you have to decide whether or not you want the TV show or the, you know, or you just want to be the place that sells out Woburn every 3 weeks. You know, and that was, I guess,
I just wanted to say who's next into a microphone in front of a group of people.
Yeah, well, that's
I think you're saying two different things, though, because no, I personally, sorry, guys, I'm going to get myself fired from podcasts. This is awesome. But sorry, I don't think that putting the New Age Insiders ringside as managers or whatever it was, that was going to be the turning point or the savior of Chaotic Wrestling. What I was looking for you guys, and I'm agreeing while I disagree with you or disagreeing while I agree with you, however you want to look at it. No, what I was looking for from you guys was, I'll use my favorite, it was like that Fight TV.
Right.
It was the Beyond. It was the Limitless. It was all these companies that were getting their shows out there and getting content and getting eyes on it.
Right. And that's
on our current product. Not, you know, what you guys wanted to do, and I get it. It's why you have a successful podcast network. It's why you guys are successful in general. But I will speak for Liam and Jay a little bit more from getting to know you guys. You're also creatives. It's idea, 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 idea. And sometimes I have to sit there and say to people, these ideas are great. But before I can do idea L, M, and N, I need A and B done.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Until I get A and B, don't talk to me about that other stuff.
Oh, and you're absolutely right.
Whereas
and I'm not even.
And a lot of people say, well, no, do it all at once. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it all at once.
Yes. That was the problem. And because I'm not even saying that should have been number one. I'm just saying that the ship has sailed. You don't own this company anymore. So it's not going to happen.
What happened?
You don't own this company anymore.
Is that new?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You know, so it's not going to happen. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, that should have been a plan to integration because, yeah, it's not going to affect the actual, like, ticket sales locally. But having people that want to watch that product, it would have affected. And it definitely shouldn't have been plan A. And you know that I wanted far more from the product that just I kept kicking and banging my head against walls about.
Oh, absolutely. And Liam, you and I consider, and I'll use my favorite one. Every argument you and I can have would be, you could give me a grocery list. And this is where everybody's going to get a real peek into when Jamie can be when I can be ultra douchey to people. Because I'm about to be ultra douchey. I'm actually giving you a warning. If there's an alert bell, we should play the ultra douche alarm bell. But we don't have the budget from the NAI network for those sound effects yet.
Be some sort of Justin Bieber song.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Sure. But, like, you know, I'm sure you would hang up the phone with me, Liam, banging your head against a wall going, this moron is being so stubborn that if he would just let me do X, Y, Z, it would be that much better. And I would immediately go back to give me Cold Fury 14. I never got Cold Fury 14 to release it. And sometimes I felt like what a lot of people did, and this was my frustration, not with you guys. I feel like I'm in a psychologist chair. This is good today.
Oh, good.
This was one of my reasons where I think it was time for me to go was I don't think I was being as innovative anymore. I think I was probably being a little too conservative and stubborn at times. And at the same time, I didn't have the knowledge and knowledge of what I should do next, both, you know, visionarily, that's not a word, but technically. So when we talk about, you know, when Beyond was on demand or Limitless or some of these other ones, Fight TV, which Liam, you and I can both talk about. I don't think that was all on us.
Yeah.
I think that was partially me. For everybody who wants to know, fight TV, and then I'll talk about this and I'll throw it a break because I want to talk about one more thing before we go for the day. Fight TV, that was going to be our attempt to have Chaotic on demand.
Right.
And who was using them at the time? Was it Ring of Honor?
I think so. I think it might have been Ring of Honor.
They were like the company that was the buzz. And we hit a triple threat of problems. You had me, who I'm saying, okay, the first things we should do is let's educate people, that's going to come as a surprise, on the past of Chaotic Wrestling. So I want to do a whole series of best ofs to get us up to speed. Liam's telling me, screw that, let me put Lowell up there, or excuse me, Woburn up there from last week.
Right.
Get new content. Who cares what you did? But going back to Jay's point, yeah, we know Sasha Banks started here. We've all seen that one picture 43 times. You're doing that. So now you've got me, who's kind of stuck in the past, who I think wanted to incorrectly use Fight TV.
Right.
Liam, at the time, you were going through all these job changes. Yes, and in my defense, you weren't giving me anything good anyways.
Yeah.
And that's not a shot at you. I'm sure if you look back, you would say, yeah, I was kind of shitty at that point in time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Then on the third part, Fight TV sucked.
Oh, yeah. They were a terrible company to work with. They were not helpful in any way, shape, or form to help bring the product to... It was very much just like, you're on your own, everybody. And that,
I really think that's kind of what caused me to finally make my decisions was not just the Fight TV incident. There was more and more of that happening where I couldn't keep fighting multiple battles with multiple people.
Right.
Whether it was production.
Well,
that was ultimately what
made me disassociate from the product in general was I'm coming from a place of knowing what I'm doing, right? And I'm trying to implement these changes that make everything far easier and far more streamlined, and I'm just getting the old guard for whatever reason, and I think it's mostly kind of what you brought up before, where the old guard is... You're just a mark. You're a podcaster. You don't know what you're talking about. And you don't understand wrestling. And it's like, I've been watching wrestling for decades and I have a production background. So yeah, I do know what I'm talking about. And it became a circle for me, at least, you know, at least for me, that I couldn't keep banging my head against the wall when nothing was changing.
Meanwhile, I enjoyed my time. And again, I keep going back because I liked it so much. But no, I know you got to throw it a break. My only two cents are, not, I think that it was a matter of I understand both sides of it. The Chaotic Wrestling had existed for 14 years before we got there. So there was a lot like, we can make adjustments, but we're not going to reinvent the wheel because this is my wheel, and I promise this wheel knows how to roll. I've watched it roll for 14 years. And then we got to the point where we were like, we wanted things to be maybe moving too new, too fast, and that might have been it. But I also think, despite how this conversation might sound, I also think we did some awesome stuff together.
Right.
And there was really a noticeable growth in Chaotic Wrestling since we got there, and I think there's a noticeable growth in the New Age Insiders since we started working with Chaotic Wrestling.
Yeah, because I wish if this were DC Comics and there were time wormholes that we could all jump through, you know, I wish I had the New Age Insiders of 2 years ago back in Chaotic Wrestling like 5-6 years ago when we had to do that first big rebuild. Because I do think that had we been on the forefront of the video on demand and been on top of that production with the names we had, I think we would be up there right now with the Evolves and the Ring of Honors, because I think you guys could have gotten us there. But the good news is, even though that didn't happen, because of all this, you got an end of his run in wrestling, but beginning of his run in podcasting, Jamie Jamikowski as part of the New Age Insiders Network.
Yeah,
and so now I can help you build your empire instead of me building mine. But when we come back, the one thing I do want to talk about is we got to talk about the WrestleMania trip.
Yeah, we do.
I don't remember what WrestleMania was. I think the show's actually still going on right now.
Yeah.
No, that's Hillbilly Jim's speech.
Good. Oh, jumping, Mary. Anyway, so when we come back, you're going to hear about the trip to WrestleMania with Jamie Jimikowski, the New Age Insiders. You're listening to Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Are you a wrestling fan, but you've always wanted to get in the ring? Do you want to follow in the footsteps of superstars like Donovan Dijak and Flip Gordon? Then check out the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. At the NEPWA, you can live your wrestling dreams and train at the best pro wrestling school in the Northeast. Check out neprowrestling.com for information on joining and about their upcoming fantasy camp. It's neprowrestling.com. Start your pro wrestling dreams today.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam, show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
And welcome back to Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop Network. I'm Jamie Jamikowski. Rich is on vacation this week, but I am joined by Bill, Liam, and Jason from the New Age Insiders. And we've been talking a little bit about how I ended up on the NAI Pop Network and the New Age Insiders Wrestling Network. In this podcasting world, we talked about how we all met. But guys, the one thing we got to talk about is I had gone to WrestleManias in the past when I was a kid. My dad and I went to one, then I went to 14 in Boston, which was heartbreaking for me because that one, you know, there was WrestleMania 14 in Boston, and that was the year Bret Hart left.
Did the luxury box run out of food?
Yeah, I was going to say, were you the one guy that didn't like Steve Austin or something?
No, I'm kidding. No, but I'll tell you, that was the first Mania that Bret Hart wasn't at, and he was my all-time favorite wrestler.
I'm sorry.
And then I went to 18. The last one I had gone to was 18 up in Toronto, where my wife, Cheryl, will tell the story that she claims that I cried during the Rock Hogan match. I don't remember. I remember getting emotional with Hogan's big reception.
Look, I don't know if it's true or true or false, but from now on, it's true.
Yeah, you cried during the Rock definite. And Hogan match.
You know, for years I'd been talking about going back to a Mania, and then you guys approached me, and I said, you know what, the one in Orlando, I'm going to join the New Age Insiders. Yeah. In Orlando.
I have to think that the partnership that we have struck and the friendship that we have forged is that of Willy Wonka and Charlie, where it's just like you're having a ton of fun hanging out with us.
Oh, absolutely. I will tell you, I made a lot of great friends early on in Chaotic Wrestling. You know, Brian Malonis, current NXT champion Tommaso Ciampa, Warbeard Hansen. Oh, wait, hold on.
I think you dropped it. Yeah, you keep dropping his names. You gotta keep it a clean studio.
You guys have, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on your podcast network, you guys have become some of my really good friends.
Aww.
Of the past few years. Like, I had so much fun going to Mania with you guys because it was so different than all the other crap I had to do in wrestling. Like, for once, I was just there with you guys as a fan to have fun. You know, we'll talk about the one thing Bill and I, the golf tournament we played, and I went and met up with one other person. Yeah, please. During that weekend. But aside from that, like, I wasn't really Chaotic Wrestling Jamie that weekend. I was just Jamie, an alleged wrestling fan who went to WrestleMania. So I had a ball with you guys.
Bret Hart wasn't on WrestleMania 14, right?
No.
That's what I said. That was the first one he was not at.
So terrible. Yeah, no, we wanted you to come because I really just enjoy your company in general.
Yeah, we do really like you.
Yeah, like, really enjoy your company and respect your opinion on wrestling. And so it was a lot of fun just to kind of go and have the experience with you. And then one of my favorite memories is I really, because WrestleMania was in Orlando and all that, and everybody like laughs and like, oh, you. It's like, but I'm like serious. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone when I tell this story because everybody laughs like I'm telling a joke and I'm not telling a joke. I hate It's a Small World.
I hate it.
I do not think it's fun. Oh. In my opinion, your time at Disney World is precious. When I spend time in this line and I spend time on this ride,
it was only 20 minutes.
That no one's having a good time on. That is 20 minutes. I'm not
so
in line.
Funny.
That's not. It's 20 minutes. I'm not in line.
Yeah,
for
but 10 minutes of joy for us.
Look. No, it's 20 minutes. I'm not in line for Splash Mountain. It's 20 minutes. I'm not in line for Thunder Mountain. It's 20 minutes. I'm not in line doing anything else. And everybody around me is like, oh, come on, man. It's not that bad. Look how angry he is on vacation. And I'm just sitting there turning this bright shade of red like, you assholes. You don't even want to ride this thing. And you're just like, oh, you. I want to have a stroke.
It's true, though.
Right
you are
that
the reason
was,
why we want to ride
was, it. That is, you are the only reason we went on It's a Small World.
I hate it.
Look. I go on It's a Small World every time. And I remember this because, like, if you had just kind of no-sold it or kayfabed, you'd be like, yeah, whatever you guys want to do, I probably would have been like,
yeah,
screw it. Let's go
yeah, because
but
It's
no,
a Small World sucks.
No.
Your vehement dislike of it. Look, you should know by now, anything that when I get any inkling of blood in the water when it comes to you, Jay, I'm on it like a shark.
No.
And I'm like, he hates It's a Small World?
We gotta go.
Go on,
I hate it.
We gotta go.
I thought about leaving you guys in the line and everything, and then like I'm like, okay, maybe I don't remember because I haven't been on in a long time. Maybe I don't remember. Maybe it's not. And then we turn around. And it's the most boring thing in the world.
It is not, Jay.
Oh my god!
Jay,
and,
how could you say
and
that?
And then you get to like
the world of laughter. It's a world of tears.
Like,
the world of hopes.
And like,
it's a world of fears.
I don't get offended by anything, but like we turn around and we get to what must be the Chinese section of this ride, and it's just these like the most stereotypical Chinese puppets being like, oh, he's just Small World, and I'm like, oh my god, get me out of here, get me out of the most racially insensitive,
yeah,
annoying song in
you
the
make,
world.
You know, the song is amazing, but you make a valid point that while the ride is supposedly, you know, a welcoming of all kinds, it could be viewed as a tad racist.
Oh
now.
My god, I can't believe that when we got to like the Alaska section, wasn't just a bunch of kids eating raw fish and polar bears and being like, "It's a small world." Yeah, everything was like the most racially insensitive thing I'd ever been to in my
so
life.
So funny. Again, it was far more like, look, that was the most fun I had ever had on It's a Small World. Because
hate that ride.
Because you hated it so much. Because I absolutely hate it. Because I got stuck on It's a Small World for like 25 minutes.
Oh, God. No chance.
See, but again, I know all you assholes.
No.
And so hey. I'm not going to tell you that.
I would have shot that place up like a post office in the 90s.
Oh,
that would have
been.
My favorite part of that was, remember, everybody else, this happens. So you go through the whole ride, the whole ride. At the end, it always backs up.
Yep.
And then you're in that one Technicolor tunnel with just the words, aloha, au revoir, you know.
Yeah, right.
Bienvenue. And you're stuck there with just the song playing on an endless loop.
And I hate all of you for it.
Oh,
you all owe me 20 minutes of your life. I want one extra hour on Earth from each, like, to combine
each
total
one
of
us.
Each one of you.
Here's the deal. If there's some way to do that, sure, pal.
It's just like unbearable. And then there's also Capone's.
Oh God,
which is perhaps the greatest thing.
If we're
that ever
all
happened.
Through our worst memories. All right, we've got Jay's worst memory of the weekend was It's a Small World.
Yeah.
Liam, yours has got to be Capone's.
Oh God. Well, you know, it was awful. The whole thing would just aneurysm city for me.
Look, we got invited by one of your fans and we all went, they put it all together. Great. It was an interactive dinner theater show.
Right.
And for those of you who listen to me more on For the Pops than here, look, it's no mystery. You throw a good show tune on the radio.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
Right.
I'll start belting out Cats right now.
Yeah.
As a vacation right now, we've got a balcony in our house. I'll go start singing Evita. From the balcony in a second, but
Jamie Rumble teaser Jay Mikowski.
But we go to this thing, and it was the only interactive theater I've ever been to where they ask you not to interact.
Yeah, well, the insane part for this entire thing, they sat a group of like 25 people in the back of the theater. And it's like, I come from a world of live entertainment in Boston, and it's improv comedy, right? So that stuff can go south real fast. And basically what they teach you is, hey, if there's a large audience, like a large party, a bachelor party, a bachelorette party, yeah, a birthday party, a girl's night out, something like that, interact with them right away so they feel like they're a part of the show and you get them on your side. And right. So instead of doing that to this to these people that you stuck in the back where the sound didn't work, you know, you're telling us to shut up. And
well,
it's like,
go back. Because what happened was we all get in and it's an all you can eat Italian buffet, all you can drink, very Central Florida cheesy. Oh, it's yeah. Like there's a reason. Look, nothing gets performers. They're all wonderful. There's a reason they're not performing at Disney, because it's that step or two below.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now
it's Branson, Missouri, not Hollywood, California.
And everybody in our group, it's like, oh, this is lame, blah, blah, blah. And I remember how we were sitting. Jay, you weren't sitting with us. Bill, it was you, Danny, Liam, and I. We were all kind of sitting on one end of this whole thing.
Right.
And I remember all of a sudden, Liam, I think it was you and I were like, you know what? Screw it. If we're going to be here, let's have fun and enjoy
right.
it.
Yes.
And we started to ramp up and we started cheering and laughing and singing. And because then all of a sudden, remember they played. What song did they play?
Going Bananas. Yes.
And you want to talk about Jamie's wheelhouse song. You're right there.
Yeah, right.
That and the Spice Girls, man. I'm in.
Yeah. Yes.
And then shortly after we committed to being involved, somebody came over and said, you know, we'd appreciate if you guys would keep it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's when we were all like, all right, well, go F yourself then.
Right.
Then now what I'm going to do is basically just drink free booze and be miserable in the back of the theater.
Right. Because I understood the philosophy was like, please do not laugh at us. Then it's like, okay, then what we're going to do is
we're
going to
be super involved.
We're going to laugh with you. You know what I mean? You're like, and then they're like, please don't do that either. And it was just like, okay, so do you need me to sit in
silence?
In like reflective silence while Bugsy and his 20 ragtime
Some
buffet
serious stuff,
dancers?
Man.
Like,
yeah.
For the light and the fun. My favorite part though is, so we'll talk about the incident now to get to my favorite part. So anyway, it's like intermission at this 20s ragtime buffet, and we get up and we're going around, and my friend Biff and I, we go out and like, cause we dispersed, we all just wanted to like stretch and like just not sit in this seat in this booth for another 20 minutes.
Yeah. One, the audience hates us
and
already.
Then we come back and we have friends in the lobby and they're attending to our friend Chip and he's bleeding. And our friends Reese and Shannon go, look, Chip fell down. Okay. there was an incident. Chip fell. And I'm like, what the hell do you mean? Well, first of all, Chip is the most clumsy human on God's earth. He is, if a banana peel became a living man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Chip fell down, whatever. And they go, no. Chip, like, fell. Like, Chip, like, crashed through the table, and he fell. Oh. And it's like, okay. And then I walk into the main dining hall, and everyone in the restaurant stares at me like, you murdered someone, yeah. And we know it.
Yeah. Bugsy came and got
and
you.
And I'm like, what happened? And then I see people cleaning up broken glass. And Chip had been startled like a newborn baby deer and leapt into the air and crashed through a table. Chocolate cake on the ceiling, broken glass yeah, everywhere.
It was bad.
Like, just straight up Looney Tunes style. And I remember me and a small group of us just went, look, before this break gets over and they restart the show, we're just going to get in an Uber. We're going to go to Disney. We're just going to go. They'd already hate us. Now there's been this incident.
Yeah.
They don't want us here. We're going to go. And you guys, led by Jamie and his big cheese-eating grin, go, you know, no, we're going to stay, pal. And
yeah,
I go, and I go,
really, man.
I go, why? He goes, I got to see how it ends. I'm invested in the story. And so there's this show in Orlando, Florida, about a guy named Bugsy, his sister or something, who's, I got almighty, I can't, there's something about a phone number. I can't figure out this show for the life of me.
I also, remember that much.
I also don't care at all. I'm like, it is just terrible. And then Jamie's like, oh, what are you talking about, pal? I got to figure out how this one ends. And it's just like, you know what? I'm going to leave you goof troop here with Bugsy to finish off Capone's and see how this thing unfolds.
Well,
I am leaving.
That was really funny because at one point Jamie leans over to me and he goes, do you know what the plot of this movie,
I had no idea what was going on in that whole show. That entire show. To this day, I remember Bugsy. I remember the hot banana dancing chicks.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I just remember her. Like, there was like a scene where it was so, like, he was like, whoa. Can I get your phone number? And she was like, you can't get my phone number. And then another girl came out and was like, you guys talking about phone numbers? And then at like the end of the thing, he got her phone number and we were supposed to clap. And I was like, what is happening? Yeah, what dimension? What dimension?
The thing was, the big thing was, and I remember leaning over to you at the beginning of the play because he's like, oh, he's talking about how he has this quarter and he like put it in a meter so that the meter maid wouldn't be able to give that guy a ticket. And then all of a sudden Bugsy starts looking for the guy and he's like, why is he looking for him? And I lean over to you and I go, because he wants to give him the quarter back because that was his car. And then you're like, I don't know about that. And then sure enough, that was the plot.
Of course it was the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, it was the lowest common denominator.
But despite Liam's trauma of Capone's and Jay's trauma of It's a Small World, Bill, nothing beats our trauma.
Oh, my God, Jamie. I was so distraught after that. Made me so sad.
What happened was we knew we were going to Mania, and every year at WrestleMania Cities, or most years, they do a charity golf tournament. So I called WWE. I said, hey, I'm going to be down there. Can I get into the tournament? So they gave me the information. I got it. And Bill and I entered a tournament. Now, Bill, you're a pretty good golfer, right?
I'm all right.
I'm all right, too. And we're both being a little humble. Good golfers.
The funny part about this entire thing is the fact that you both asked us if we wanted to participate as a Jay and I, and at least we had the sense to go, no.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, do you want to wake up really early and go golfing with Baron Corbin? I'm like,
we didn't know it was Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin. But my favorite part is so Bill and I, we enter this tournament. We leave our hotel, we got our clubs. And Bill, I don't know if you even know this to this day, is I had actually injured my back that week. So I was drugged up. I had all these drugs so I could at least swing a club that day. So we go, and remember, it was at the Ritz.
Yep.
So it was at the Ritz in Orlando. So I get there and finally I'm like, all right, finally I am home. You know, I leave the Disney Dollar Resort, and I'm like, okay, are there any rooms available here? Because I'll transfer.
That's funny. Because, you stayed in the same hotel as us out of the kindness of your heart.
You know, I had the Grand Floridian on speed dial. You know, I had their housekeepers coming over to take care of my room for me. But don't worry. Yeah. That's a different story.
One time Jimmy had to make a phone call at a Best Western, and his shoes started to melt under right from under him.
So Bill and I go, and we're at the Ritz. And my favorite thing is I remember, Bill, like, they had the great breakfast buffet set up, right?
Oh, yeah, yep.
And they had the title belts and props. I think one of my Facebook profile pictures is still me holding the box of Bootios.
Yeah.
Because of Kofi. I texted it to him. And so it starts off great. And all I can think of is, so this is at the Ritz Golf Course in Orlando. Where it's known for a bunch of old retirees. Can you picture the reaction in the men's locker room when they put up the poster that said, on April 3rd, the course will be closed for the world, you know, WWE charity golf tournament?
Yeah.
So now we're there and they tell us, go to your carts, and we're with these two other guys and we line up, and then all of a sudden they start playing music and all the superstars start coming out one by one.
Yep.
Right. And who else was there, Bill?
It was Baron Corbin. It was Dana Brooke. It was Fandango, Tyler Breeze, Alicia Fox, JoJo. No.
A variable.
Mickey James.
Mickey James was there.
A variable. Who's that? A professional wrestling.
But no. So the funny part is now they all start to parade by, and Fandango's there. And remember, he used to be with Chaotic ages ago.
Oh, right.
And so I see him walk by. I go, Johnny Curtis. And he goes, Jamie, what the fuck are you doing here? we talk a little bit of story, and our guy was our celebrity, our roster guy was Baron Corbin, right? Who to this day I still think he's a lawyer from LA Law. I call him Corbin Burnson, but
he's, Roger Dorn?
The third baseman in a major league. So, but now what Bill and I didn't realize in this tournament was it wasn't a real golf tournament. Every hole had a different gimmick to it.
Right.
So they had
like mini golf.
They had the Money in the Bank hole.
Yep.
Where there was
a ladder in the middle of the fairway.
A ladder with a briefcase. And Bill, remember the poor marketing interns they had working there.
Yep.
They obviously hired some temps or a local marketing company, because there's this like 19-year-old girl on the second hole, the Money in the Bank hole, and she's got her clipboard. She goes, "All right, this is the Money in the Bank hole. if you can hit a ladder from, then you get, I'm like, I think what you mean is if we can hit the briefcase on the ladder. She's like, yeah, I don't know how any of this works.
Which,
I'm like,
which in the grand scheme of things, if you're a golfer, is like nearly impossible.
You'd think they'd have the gimmick built in already because all you're trying to do is get it close to the pin.
God almighty.
Remember the hole with the air horns, Bill?
Yeah, I ruled it that one.
Just gloss over my awesome joke?
Yes we are.
But
that was the Bailey Buddies hole with the air things, the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men.
Right, the Bailey things.
Yeah.
But my two favorite parts, and I know we're starting to run long, so we'll wrap this up. My two favorite parts of the tournament were they had guys making hand rolled cigars on one hole.
What?
And that's where we hung out with JoJo, Alicia Fox, Mickey James. They were all there.
Yep.
Right. And then we were actually joined by a WWE legend, a Hall of Famer.
Pat Patterson
decides to join us for half the round of golf.
Yep.
And if you've ever known Pat, again, Pat's somebody else I've known a long time. Pat is a golfer. He has a place in Tampa, and he's a pretty serious golfer. And to quote Pat, as we're teeing off on the second hole, he decides to join us with, and there's, I forget what that was, Bill, whether it was the cigar hole or some other crazy hole. All I hear is Pat Patterson going, "What the fuck is this bullshit all about?"
Oh my god!
So yeah, was it Tim White was driving him, right?
Tim White was driving him. Yep, and Ricky Steamboat was there too.
That's right, Steamboat Slaughter. But we had fun. But what's the moral of the story, Bill?
We sucked.
We lost.
We
Bill and I
up
combined.
Sucked. Jamie, if I had made one more putt that day, we would have walked away with those titles, not friggin' Mojo Rawley's team.
Boo, Mojo Rawley.
If I had put maybe one drive in a fairway, we would have been fine.
Yeah.
But no, between Bill and I, the most epic fail of a golf day ever.
And then not to mention that skinny little dark-skinned guy who was in our group that was the most irritating person of all time who wouldn't get out of Baron Corbin's cart. How funny was that?
This kid, he's a fan, and he just bought in. And so he says to Baron Corbin, the way it was the superstar was supposed to be in their own cart.
Right.
Bill and I had one, and then this kid, and there was a guy probably about my age. I think it was like a local businessman, right?
Yeah, okay.
So the superstar was supposed to be in his own cart. So this kid walks up to him, and he's like, hey, do you mind if I ride with you? So Baron Corbin's like, of course. You know, he's being nice. Sure, ride with me. Well, over the course of a few holes, I figured out that Corbin and I, we're both good friends with Matt Bennett, the ref.
Oh,
Matt came out of Chaotic. So we kind of put two and two together. So I'm starting to talk to him. And all of a sudden, Corbin comes over to me. He looks at me. He goes, Jesus Christ, this kid won't fucking shut up. We tried to warn you.
Right.
But, and the worst part was, but like the whole time the kid's asking me, he's like, it was like, remember Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live?
That was awesome.
Yeah, remember like, that time you hung out? Yeah,
remember the one time when you wrestled? That was awesome, right?
Oh, it was like bad podcast question after bad podcast question.
You know who doesn't ask bad podcast questions? The New Age Insiders.
Exactly.
And you can listen to their interview with Dolph Ziggler.
Right, on iTunes, Spotomatic, Globe, Rumble, and Stitcher.
Subtle plug.
My favorite one of those Chris Farleys was definitely when he had Paul McCartney on, and he just opens with, he goes, do you remember when you were in the Beatles? and Paul McCartney goes, yeah, sure. And he goes, that was great.
That was awesome.
Bill, remember, we're at Mania now, and how big is that stadium?
Pretty big.
Oh, yeah, big.
Pretty big stadium. We're sitting there in our seats, and who do we see? The kid we golfed with.
Oh, my God, I know.
And Baron Corbin won the tournament. Won the thing, right?
Yeah, he won the thing.
The Battle Royal.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was Dallas.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, Raleigh won that one.
Stupid Mojo
Raleigh won Raleigh. Fucking everything that weekend.
I hate Mojo.
And I know we're completely out of time, because if we were going to review my worst part of the weekend, it was going to WrestleMania, because that show was 19 hours long.
Oh, it was brutal.
The best the good thing is that at least the weather wasn't bad. Like, by the time the show actually started, we weren't My fear was that we were going to bake.
Yeah.
And we baked all afternoon.
Right, and that didn't happen, though, like, for Mania itself, which was, thank God.
There were two awesome things that came out of that weekend that I enjoyed doing with you. One was hanging out at Raglan Road at Disney Springs.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome. I had a ton of fun doing that with you. And then figuring out if Finn Balor was comparable to The Rock.
That one time, that one show, he had been gone for like 6 months. He's very popular. It would have been his return.
That was the night Seth Rollins was wrestling Triple H. and The Rock was allegedly in town, yeah. and Jason Molotov, cornerstone of the New Age Insiders, he and I were going back in the bar about who we thought would be the surprise at the end, and we both had it booked the same way, because wasn't Samoa Joe with Trips at that point?
Yeah, they were kind of hanging out.
What's going to happen? Rollins will go over. Triple H and Samoa Joe, they're going to put the boots to him. And the big save's going to come. And I said, it's going to be The Rock. And the roof will blow off. The non-existent roof will blow off that stadium.
Yeah.
And you then utter the phrase, well, you know, no, I think it's going to be Finn Balor. Because I think that's the only other guy who's comparable.
The one night, not any given night.
To The Rock. So, and I'm assuming that I'm hoping a lot of the New Age Insiders fan will listen to this episode. That is why anytime I tweet at the New Age Insiders, Jason, you specifically, my favorite word to you is hashtag comparable.
That yeah. one night, he had won the Universal title, then he got all hurt, and then he had been gone for
no night in the world.
He'd been gone for like almost a year.
And then comparable to The Rock.
And it just the one night, the place would have been very... Look, you were there in that building. You were there, right? How loud was the reaction for the Hardy Boys? I think that Balor could have got right there. I don't think people could get much louder than that for The Rock. One night. One night.
In Bangkok.
Hashtag comparable.
God damn it, man. I can't. And what? Somewhere there's an alternate universe where both of those things happened, and one of us is right, and I want to go meet those people.
I think the best part of that is now you know we're going on probably close to 2 years of this debate of comparable of you know who's going to come down and make the save, and right. The best part is it was nobody. None of that happened.
Yeah, none of it happened.
Yeah, yeah. That was the best part where we go, who's going to have the pop of the night? The returning Hulk Hogan, the returning Rock, or the returning Finn Balor? Well, we'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll let you know. And the biggest pop of the night was me when my Uber finally showed up to take me back to Disney.
Oh, my God.
I know we went long. I want to thank you guys. You know, thank you guys for joining me. We hadn't actually done a Let the Chaos Begin together. It's been a while since we've all been on the air together.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for giving me a home. You know, now that the wrestling business has kicked me out and won't return my phone calls, I'm so happy you guys have welcomed me into the podcasting world. I'm going to be back again. You can catch me on NAI Pop. You can go to the New Age Insiders website, click on the NAI Pop link, and you can find For the Pops with me and Scotty Slade. You can find Let the Chaos Begin with me and Rich Palladino. You can find us at ForThePops.com or all over social media. Just look for at ForThePops or ForThePops Podcast. But again, thank you guys for joining me. This is Jamie J. Mikowski here for Rich Palladino with the New Age Insiders. You've been listening to Let the Chaos Begin on the NAI Pop Network.